would ask for your prayers this morning that the word of the Lord would have free course, that the Lord would bless his word. We need the anointing of his spirit, for without it we have nothing. I'd like to begin this morning in the book of Hebrews, the 11th chapter. Written on the board, an army of aliens, as was sung in the song, might give a little context for that description or that title. Popular culture has given an idea of what aliens is, very foreign to the idea of what we'll be looking at this morning. Idea of creatures, green creatures or whatever, living in otherworldly planets. But the song talked about an army of aliens that would camp against us. I'd like to begin here in the 11th chapter of Hebrews, the chapter, the Hall of Fame of Faith. Let's begin in the 32nd verse. It says, "What shall I more say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon and of Barak and of Samson and of Jephthah, of David also and of Samuel and of the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, turned to flight the armies of the aliens." Talking about those here who have gone before us, who obtained a good report of the Lord through their faith in Him, we can sometimes look at this, the chronicles of their lives, and remark about how incredible their lives were, what incredible people they were. And it seems that we follow in the footsteps of spiritual giants, and we do. But you know, the scripture here says, out of weakness, they were made strong. They found the Lord to be their source of strength, and by that they were able to do what man is not able to do. It says they waxed valiant in fight and turned to flight the armies of aliens. So aliens, it is that individual or being that is belonging to another, that is foreign, that is not akin to. It's not part of a thing. So we have instances in the Bible. I think of 2 Chronicles, the 20th chapter. We read of an instance whenever Judah was assembled together. Jehoshaphat looked out and he got the report that an army of aliens is headed our way. There is an army of individuals who are armed and ready for warfare. They have their intention is made clear and made known. They're here for one purpose. They're not here to negotiate. They're not here to make friends. They're not here to introduce themselves as the neighboring nation. They're here to invade and to conquer and to overthrow. So they looked on that and beheld it, and they did what every one of us ought to do in our lives. Whenever we face that which is overwhelming, that which is greater than we are, they took it to the Lord and said, "Lord, we have no might against this force. We have no might against this intimidating show of force. Neither know we what to do. But Lord, our eyes are on You." You know, we face today an army. David said, "Behold how they are increased that trouble me. How they're rising up against me." It seems like more and more. How they are increased. There's another scripture that talks about, "Behold how they have consulted together with one consent against us." They are confederate together. You know, there were sects of religious people and political sects who were joined together in opposition against Jesus Christ, who otherwise would not have found common ground. Yet in being united against the truth, they were of one accord. In our world today, folks, we face an army of aliens. We face an army of forces that are opposing to our cause, that are in opposition to everything that we stand for, everything that we are, an army that is confederate together with the express purpose of overthrowing what God has come to give to us. Behold, they said at Jehoshaphat and the people, behold how they are come to cast us out of the possession which you have given us to inherit. They were telling the Lord about this. Lord, this is our possession. Lord, it's mine. I hope today, I pray that you have something of an inheritance from the Lord. I pray today that you have claimed your birthright. The Lord has a spiritual land for every one of us. A possession where the Lord wants to bring us to in our lives, where He says, this is yours. You go in and possess this land now. But I want to tell you this morning, it will not go uncontested. Whenever the Lord gives us a spiritual inheritance, a possession that He says is ours, whether individually or collectively as a body of people, it will not go uncontested. There is an army of aliens who is determined to overthrow us from our possession that the Lord has come to give to us. So we read of something that ought to inspire every one of our faith. The song that we began with said, there's a lion of Judah. Who the scepter will sway when the odds are against us. Whenever we look at our society and the culture around us, and it seems like an overwhelming tsunami of unrighteousness and unbelief that's coming against us. Folks, there is a Lion of Judah who will sway the scepter. We need not be overrun and overcome in our lives. Wherever we are, I appreciate this place. I'm thankful for heavenly places that we can sit together. But the Lord does not call us to a commune of saints. The Lord does not call us to live in a place where we leave our jobs and we leave our neighborhoods and we leave all those around us and say, we're just going to sit together in an isolated commune on top of the mountainside somewhere. The power of God is greater. The Lion of Judah is stronger than that. He's able to go with every one of us, conquering and to conquer. Thank the Lord. The armies are assembled against us. We can read in Revelation of Gog and Magog of the beast and the dragon and the false prophet who have camped round about the saints, who are united in opposition to truth and righteousness and godliness and belief and faith in God, in every way trying to overthrow or undermine, undercut what is most valuable and precious to every one of us. So thank the Lord we can know. Whenever the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord can lift up a standard against him and say no further. And the Lord indeed has built a place for us to inhabit. Then He said the gates of hell shall not prevail against this church. It is not of man's doings, it's the Lord's doings, and it's marvelous in our sight. And the gates of hell, though it may try to prevail, cannot prevail against this. But does it mean the enemy will fold his hands in defeat? There's a story that I am sure every one of us are familiar with. The story in Greek legend of the Greeks attempting to overthrow the city of Troy. As the story goes, for 10 years, they had besieged the city of Troy. They had camped against it, and the city of Troy was fortressed. It was fortified against such a siege to be able to withstand an enemy that would oppose and try to come in. So they besieged it round about. We read in other instances where the enemy did that to Samaria, and other times when he would camp against them, cut off the supply lines, wait for them to starve, to the time that they can come in and overthrow the city. Ruthless. Determined. Not easily going to give up and just say, you go on your... We'll just retreat now. That's not what the enemy knows. The enemy doesn't know negotiation. The enemy doesn't know neutrality. There is no place where I can say, well, devil, you just leave me alone over here in my corner, and I'm not going to get into that churchy stuff and aggravate you, and I'm not really going to go far out into sin. There is no neutrality. The enemy of our souls has declared war, utter annihilation spiritually of every one of us. If the enemy cannot, you think of those Greeks. Maybe the second year, the third year, they'd say, you know, this isn't working. You know, we're not getting anywhere. Let's go pick an easier target. That's a danger for any one of us. Life forced to look at Ezra for a few minutes. Ezra, the fourth chapter. Now when the adversaries of Judah and Benjamin heard that the children of captivity builded the temple unto the Lord God of Israel, then they came to Zerubbabel and to the chief of the fathers and said unto them, let us build with you, for we seek your God as ye do. And we do sacrifice unto him since the days of Esarhaddon, king of Asshur, who brought us up hither. Let us take part in this with you. We love the Lord as well. We have sincere hearts as well. Let us come and be a part of you. Just bring us in and let us build alongside of you. But he said, Zerubbabel and Jeshua and the rest of the chief of the fathers of Israel said unto them, ye have nothing to do with us to build an house unto our God. But we ourselves together will build unto the Lord God of Israel, asking Cyrus, the king of Persia, hath commanded us. Then the people of the land weakened the hands of the people of Judah and troubled them in building. Now, wait a minute. You just said a little bit ago that you wanted to help. And now, whenever they had the discernment to say, you don't have part with us. You're an alien to what our cause is. You don't have our interest in your heart. You're of a different father. And the works of your father you will do, Jesus said. You don't have any part with us. And so then they began to try to frustrate the work of God. We read in the book of Nehemiah a similar instance. As they were building the walls of the city, Sambalad and Tobiah, they came up against the people. They began to ridicule, to mock them, to say that so easily that wall would be broken down. What are these feeble Jews doing? At one point, they said, come down into the plain and visit with us for a little while. Just come on down and cease from your work for a while and come down and visit with us. Perhaps a decoy? They said, we don't have time for that. We have too great of a cause here to go and align ourselves with your purposes. So they said, well, they made their watch both night and day against them. I'd like to tell you about I don't know if you have them here in West Virginia, the other states from which you come, stink bugs. Any of you know what a stink bug is? I hope you don't. But we have an abundance of them in Ohio. You know, 20 years ago, I didn't know what a stink bug was. Because they weren't native to America. These bugs just love to find the habitation of humans. Houses, shops, they burrow into. I've taken a drill off of the shelf that I haven't used for a while, and I power it up and I start using it. I said, what is that smell? And a stink bug crawled up into the motor housing, and it's there sending off the scent for me to enjoy. Over and over, everywhere I go, drawers I open up, things, tools that I take out, things. There's a nest of stink bugs here, and there they are here, and they have become a major agricultural pest in America. They've cost millions of dollars in liability to agriculture. But they were first observed in 1998 in Pennsylvania. Oh, how I wish whoever first observed it would have done us all a favor and stepped on it. But they didn't. Perhaps they were interested, intrigued. What is this little bug? Haven't seen this before. They allowed it. Maybe they studied, observed it. And over the course of just a short period of time, they found that the climate environment was conducive to them thriving here, and thrive they do. They've abounded to the point that it's a dilemma. What do we do with these pests now? What do we do with these bugs? Well, in studying it and looking into it, they have concluded that they believe they were imported in from another country in shipping crates, having embedded themselves unnoticed, unobserved, seemingly small and insignificant. And yet, as nobody watched, they exited those shipping crates and they began to thrive in their new environment. Folks, I want us this morning, I pray that our eyes would be opened a little bit more to the wiles of the devil. Folks, the enemy has shipping crates. The enemy has things that he wants to import into our lives that are not native to the kingdom of God. They don't belong. They aren't becoming unto holiness. It doesn't have the stamp of holiness upon it. And I can look at it and I can say, that looks harmless. I don't see any damage in that. It's just a television set. It's just a movie. It's just a little bit of entertainment over here. Folks, I want to warn you this morning. The entertainment of the world is a shipping crate containing an alien substance. Containing a spirit that is not of the kingdom of God. May the Lord help us this morning. Individually. Our own heart. The scripture says, keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Every one of us are set as a watchman upon the walls of our own lives and our own hearts to watch the way. I want to encourage you this morning, examine the country of origin. Whenever a shipping crate comes your way, we're in a generation and a time, an information age, where technology is changing rapidly. We're having to face and make decisions of where to draw lines that our grandparents didn't have to do. Lord, give us discernment. Give us a burning love for God and holiness, that we would be able to assess those things that come our way. Say, Lord, from which country is this? Is this from the country of the kingdom of heaven? Lord, is this conducive to holiness? Does it bear your stamp of holiness upon it? Or does it bear the markings of another kingdom? Does it bear the characteristics of a kingdom that is beneath? For folks, we can look at it. We can reason. We can think it seems so harmless. That's not what I ordered. I ordered this sofa from this other country. And I'm not preaching against other countries. What I'm wanting us to consider this morning is that spiritually we are citizens of a heavenly country. We are compassed about by an army of aliens looking to invade this country. Looking to invade in whatever means that they can. By importing a little something into my life, into my heart, that I would say, all I wanted was this. But if the country of origin says it is of the world, it will come with the stink bugs of the world. It will come with something embedded down in the shipping crate that I bring it into my house. I bring it into the walls of the city. I think it's that what I got, the bill of goods says, I got a little entertainment. I got a little bit of enjoyment. That's all I got. It's all I bargained for. It's all I wanted. And then folks start to say, what's that smell? What's that I smell? Not only is it that one that imported, but I want to tell you something. It begets its own. It will breed of its own. All it takes, how many kinds did God set in the ark? It didn't take 100. It didn't take 1,000 of a kind, just in case. 2 or 7. Folks, all it takes is us letting down our guard, for us bringing into our lives something that I have not carefully and with the discernment of the Holy Spirit assessed and analyzed and said, Lord, is this of you? And it can come and begin to breed more of its own in my life. I'll tell you of another example. In Florida, over the last 20 to 30 years, they've been facing a growing dilemma in areas of Florida. For people have imported, mostly from other nations, have imported, and pet stores have, snakes, pythons. They look, if you can consider snakes cute, if they're ever cute, they're cute when they're smaller. And so that's when people import them. They go and they see this little snake in the curled around their little rock and their little cactus in the glass fish bowl and say, I'd like to have that. I'd like to bring that into my home and I'll feed it and take care of it. The problem is, it grows. The problem is, it doesn't stay little. You feed it and it grows, and before you know it, it's wrapping around your aquarium, and I gotta do something with this thing. I think about the first time that it popped the lid off and I found it in my bed, I'd say, I'm done. You're not living here anymore. And so many people took this snake that was growing out of control and they turned it loose into the Everglades, loose out into the wild, into an environment where they thrived. And they began to beget their own. Do you know those snakes can lay 50 plus eggs? 50 plus of their own. Now they're to a point where they say in some of those areas of Florida, you barely see any wildlife. The raccoons and the possums and even the deer are disappearing in vast numbers because of these snakes. And so they're pleading for help and they're giving open invitations. Come on down and hunt. If you have nothing better to do than to tromp around through the woods looking for an 18-foot long snake, have at it. They'd love to have you. And they're inviting people, please come help us. We've got a problem that's bigger than we can control. We've let, you know, the story of Pandora's box. I've opened something up now. I don't know how to get it back in. I don't know how to close the lid back. Folks, it is the way of the flesh. It is the way, if we walk the way of the flesh, if we feed the flesh, it can start out so small. It can start out so appealing. But folks, that thing is going to grow. You better not feed it. The scripture says, make no provision for the flesh. Make no provision for it. Don't provide for it. Don't give accommodation unto it. Because that thing is going to grow out of your control. You may be able to think today, I've got it in this little aquarium. I'm just observing it over here on the shelf. That thing's gonna grow. That thing's gonna lay eggs. That thing's going to beget more of its own. And you'll have a problem on your hands bigger than what you know how to deal with. And so the way of the flesh. Just a little bit. Just a little bit of gratification over here. Just a little bit over there I'm gonna let. And I've got a place in my life. I'm keeping it contained. It's not gonna work very long. We're going to find ourselves in a place where I've got a problem on my hands that I don't know what to do with. I've got something that's bigger than me now, and I don't know how to deal with it. Growing out of control. Lord, help us to beware. Those are called invasive species. They come in and the environment and the conditions are just conducive for them to thrive. May we be on our guard today against those invasive species. I'd like to turn and look at the book of James. James, the 3rd chapter. 13th verse. Who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Let him shew out of a good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom. But if ye have bitter envy and strife in your hearts, glory not and lie not against the truth. This wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, devilish. For where envy and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work. What's the country of origin? Lord, help us to guard carefully the port of entry. Lord, help us to guard our minds, to guard our thoughts, that I would inspect every parcel, every shipment that comes in. Lord, as the enemy tried to slip one in here, as the enemy tried to influence me here, as the enemy trying to disguise something that's not what it appears to be, that I'd be able to identify it. He said there is a wisdom that comes not from above. It comes from beneath. It appears to be wisdom. To the human mind and intellect, it seems like the best way to go. You know, Solomon followed the way of this wisdom. It appeared, no doubt, wisdom to him as he's interacting with the nations about him to have a confederacy, to have a friendly relationship, to take a wife from these different places. The problem was he imported something. He imported something that wasn't native to what he knew of God. Paul told the Galatians, he said, "You did run well. Who did hinder you that you should not obey the truth? What happened to you? Solomon, you were doing well. You had wisdom. You had favor with God. Solomon, what happened here?" Paul went on to say, "This persuasion cometh not of him that calleth you. This persuasion that has moved you away is not from the country of origin. It's something other than the kingdom of God. It doesn't come from above. It comes from beneath. It's earthly. It's sensual. It accommodates the flesh." Folks, we have to be very careful with our own reasoning. We have to be very careful when I assess something and I make a decision and I say, that's okay. I can get by with this. I can control this. Folks, not only do we have a responsibility individually, we have a responsibility as parents to guard the port of entry, to create a safe haven for our children, that I not bring something into their lives that I say maybe I can control. And then it grows into something that they cannot control. As the church of God, folks, we have a responsibility to guard the precious heritage that we have. That we not look around and say, well, they seem sincere. They seem sincere, and maybe they do. The song says, we reach our hand in fellowship to every blood-washed one. Folks, I can accept a testimony and say, thank the Lord. I'm glad you said the Lord saved you. Praise the Lord for that. That is one level of fellowship. But beware of leaven. Beware of what you allow to come in and be a part. To recognize not everything that glitters is gold. Not everything that raises its hand and has a testimony is a part of us. So what is us? It's not my clique or your clique. It's not my church or your church. It is the church of the living God. He's the one that holds the membership book. He's the one that holds the rules this morning. It's not mine to bend or mine to try to tighten. It's God's. Folks, it's His body. He's the one that has the rights of admission to be able to allow into this body. May God give us discernment. May God give us in our time discernment to know how to work with those that are around us and show the love of Christ, and yet at the same time to guard those doctrines and beliefs of the Word of God that are precious unto us, that He has revealed unto us. For Paul had to tell the Galatians, when they began listening to another influence and someone else bringing a different idea, and it looks like maybe they're sincere and maybe they have a love for the God, but I hear a different sound. I hear an uncertain sound and it brings confusion. What did the Scripture say of this wisdom that doesn't come from above? With it comes confusion and every evil work. Wisdom is justified of her children. May God help us to be able to observe and look and learn and not be quick to jump on the bandwagons of the world and the world's trends and the world's ways, but to say first, I've got to observe this thing. I've got to see what the fruit of it is. I've got to see what it becomes of it and what it does. There are things that are foreign today to the body of Christ. There are substances that do not belong in the body of Christ, that are not of the stamp of holiness. They don't belong. And they'll bear with it the consequences of something that I can't control. That I turn loose and there's no putting it back in the box. So Solomon began to follow this kind of wisdom. Began to reason in his mind, I can control this. It's not in the temple of God. But look, hey wife, you see that hill over there? That's your hill over there. You can build a temple. I'll build it for you. To pacify you. To offer you like a peace offering. You go worship your God over there and we'll worship our God here. But there was something in the shipping crate that turned Solomon's heart away from God. There was something that though Solomon in all of his glory and all of his wisdom and all of the might of his kingdom, that Solomon himself was overthrown. So Samson found himself in a place where he got a hold of something that was bigger than him. He got a hold of something that he turned loose that he wasn't able to control, but rather controlled him. They that sow to the flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But it says the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. The fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. Oh, those are the things I want to take in. Those are the things, folks. Salvation is not to just leave a void in our lives. Salvation is not about a plan where God says, I'm going to strip you of this, and I'm going to strip you of that, and I'm going to take away this pleasure, and I'm going to take away that enjoyment, and now you're left a bare. That's not what the Lord has. The Lord says, instead, I got to get that out. But I've got something so much better to put in its place. I've got thoughts that are peaceable. Oh, the sweet dealings of the Spirit of God. Folks, there is nothing like it to have a clean and a pure conscience and have God come by and begin to witness to my heart. Begin to talk to my spirit. I want to tell you something. There's no room then. I can say at the port of entry, refused. Return to sender. I don't want it. I have no desire for it. I don't have room for it. I'm full of something else. Oh, today are you full? Do you have a full portion today? What kind of things have you been accepting into your life, into your heart? What kind of packages have you accepted into your mind, starting with a little thought, with a little desire, with just a little longing after, that back when the stink bug was one or two, I could have smashed it? What have we allowed in? I'd like to close in 1 Thessalonians. First Thessalonians, the 5th chapter. 21st verse says, prove all things, hold fast that which is good. An army of aliens, folks, is camped round about us, looking for a weakness, looking for an opportunity, looking for something that they can introduce into our lives, plant a seed, leave a little influence over here that given time begins to grow into something that turns my heart and my desires away from God. It's the effect of the things of the world. It's the effect of the things of the flesh. You walk after the flesh, you're not going to desire the things of the Spirit. It's going to turn your heart away. They that sow to the flesh will of the flesh reap corruption. So may God help every one of us in our lives, in our families, in our congregations, that we would prove everything. that I would prove those things that come into my life, that I would check it against the Word of God. See, where does it come from? What's the country of origin? Lord, give us discernment to see beyond just the surface level. The Lord has a beautiful plan. Folks, He has a land for us to possess that's flowing with milk and honey. It's ours. Folks, it's yours today. The Lord has it and is offering it to you. But there's an army of aliens encamped waiting for the opportunity to take that possession away from you, to reclaim it. It need not be so. May God bless each one. You pray for me. Amen.